On February 10th, 2013, there was a fire that broke out in the engine of the Carnival cruise ship Triumph. Ironically, this was the first cruise ship that my wife and I ever went on back in 2007. And so there we are on the Triumph right there. The fire in 2013 knocked out the ship's power and it left the vessel drifting in the Gulf of Mexico. So there were more than 4,200 passengers on board that ship, and it lost power. And so because of that, it made it impossible for them to even flush toilets, for them to turn on their air conditioning, and for them to keep the food, the perishable food, from becoming spoiled. And so there were reports of long lines for food. There were shortages of fresh water. There were illnesses. And worst of all, widespread boredom. Many passengers slept in the hallways or outside to escape the odors and heat below decks. And so CNN dubbed it the cruise ship from hell. So after 4 days drifting, the ship finally arrived safely back in Mobile, Alabama, and it came into port. Passengers were seen from the helicopter looking down, begging for help. Apparently, though, Carnival learned their lesson through this time, and so it was repaired for 4 months, and when it came back 4 months later, they had installed a new emergency power system so that even when the engine broke, the power system continued to work. So Carnival, the article said, Carnival knows that when the power goes out, the party is over. Now, this part is actually not part of the sermon, but I'm just curious, how many of you love going on cruises? How many of you? Not a lot. Not too many. All right, how many of you would never go on a cruise? We have a very strong anti-cruise sentiment here at Island Pond. It was just like at the 9:30. Well, we've been working our way through Ecclesiastes, and we've been talking about how we can live well. Solomon is saying what is meaningful and what is not meaningful. He's been pointing out things in life that he calls meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And last week we got to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 3. And today we're going to skip ahead to chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. But have no fear, we're going to come back next week and look at chapter 4, verse 4, because it ties into chapter 6. And so today, Solomon has some very important wisdom for us. And that's if we want to live a meaningful life, we need to take God seriously. And so a lot of the time, Solomon, up to this point, has been talking about the horizontal. So he's been talking about what goes on under the sun, the meaninglessness of things that we can do that are under the sun. But now he's going to stop and take a little moment to talk about our relationship with God and how that can lead to a more meaningful life. Here's the problem that many of us face, even in church. We follow God mostly. We love Him some. We obey Him to an extent. And while none of us are going to be perfect, there's a big difference between striving for perfection and messing up and striving for mediocrity and hitting the mark. And so with those mindsets, those are going to take us in two very different directions in life. And so when we settle for spiritual mediocrity, which happens when we do not take God seriously in our life, then we end up like the Carnival Triumph in the Gulf, just drifting without power and just sort of lost at sea. And so today, I want to talk to us how Solomon encourages us to live meaningfully by taking God seriously with our life. Because that is how we will live well. By taking God seriously in our life. And so we're going to go through 7 verses, and I'm going to pull out 3 things that we can learn from these 7 verses. And here's the first one. We need to worship God through obedience. So one of the ways that we can take God seriously is by worshiping Him through obedience. Through obedience. Now, in the Old Testament times, the only way that you could go to be physically near God was to go to the temple or to the tabernacle. And so that was how God lived near his people, sort of among them, but not too close. Nobody wanted to get too close. In fact, to get closer to God, the high priest had to go through all these different rituals and sacrifices and processes in order to get into the Holy of Holies. Most people wouldn't even get that close to God. They would be a little bit further and further back. But under New Testament rules, so once Jesus died, and once he was crucified, so if you remember, I believe it's in Matthew, where he dies there, and what happens? The veil is torn in the two in the temple. And that signifies that now Christians, now those who follow Jesus, are under a new set of rules, not the Old Testament standards, but now we're under what's called the New Covenant. And under the New Covenant, now God doesn't just dwell near us, he dwells actually in those who follow him through his Spirit. And so as I thought about what Solomon was saying in chapter 5, verse 1, I was originally going to talk about the importance of taking church seriously, because he's saying, be careful when you go to the house of God, because that's where we're gathering to worship God right now. But the more I thought about it, the more I decided that that's not the best application from a New Testament perspective. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And so do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so what Paul's saying in the New Testament, in Romans, is that if you want to worship God, if you want to truly worship God, it's not just about lifting up your hands or singing to him. If you want to truly worship God, then you worship him with your lives, with your bodies, with your entire self. You see, we absolutely should worship him on Sunday at church. But if that is the only day that we are worshiping God and living for him and focusing on him, then we are living a lie. Let me explain it this way. Women, let's say you're hanging out with my wife and she's just had a brownie, and so she gets a bit talkative because that's what happens when she eats brownies. And so she starts telling you women, hey, I'm so excited. My husband is coming home tomorrow. And you're like, oh, was he on a trip? And she says, no, he comes and lives with us on Mondays through Wednesdays. On Thursdays through Sundays, he lives with his live-in girlfriend in Nashua. And so... So then once she says that, she then starts gushing about how romantic I am on those days I'm there with her, and how much I help the kids, and how supportive and loving I am on those days. And then she says, if I'm fortunate enough, I'll even get to spend Christmas with him this year. Now, women, if you just heard all of that, what would your opinion be of me? Probably not very good. Probably not very good. Because a healthy, strong marriage is one where the husband and wife not just live together, but love each other and only each other. And so our marriage would have issues if I had a girlfriend on the side. Now, likewise, I am so excited that you're here on Sunday. And I hope you keep coming, and I hope this service blesses you and encourages you and strengthens you and challenges you. But listen, if Sunday is the only day that you're taking God seriously, if Sunday is the only day that you're focusing on God, then your relationship with God has issues. It just does. And so let me ask you, is there anything in your life that you are actively pursuing that the Bible says is sin? And if the answer is yes, then that is not worship. That is the opposite. That's idolatry. You're worshiping something else, not God. Listen to what Samuel says in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 15:22. He says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice?" So the worship actions that we go through, saying, "Does the Lord delight in those as much as obeying the Lord?" No, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed, or as the ESV says, to listen is better than the fat of rams. And so the key to worshiping God is listening to and obeying Him. That's how we worship Him. And so we need to look closely at our actions that we are engaging in on a regular basis, because those actions that we do Monday through Saturday mean just as much as what you do on Sunday. I like what one pastor said. He said, "You can come to as many worship gatherings as you want and raise your hands high in the air, but, hey, Dave, can you get the lights? You just knocked the lights off. Thank you. But if you cannot worship God, then you have a worship problem. The Bible authoritatively tells us that what to do with our time, our money, our families, our sex lives, and so much more, and we are called to submit to it. The problem is that instead of listening and submitting, we tell the Word what we will obey. We find it easy to submit to the parts we like and agree with, and we conveniently find alternative interpretations for the things we do not like. Well, that's not what this verse actually means. Well, that's not my situation. And so that leads right into the next part that Solomon's going to be talking about, is that you can't obey unless you're listening. And so the second point here is that listen to God. We need to listen to God more than we speak. Listen to God. I read about a pastor who had a friend who was sleeping around with his girlfriend. And so the pastor went to talk to him about it. And when they talked, the friend said this. The friend said to the pastor, he said, "I never made that promise to God. I never promised to save myself for marriage." Now, what's the problem here? And there is an obedience problem here. But looking deeper, there's also a listening problem. The guy was saying, it was me, when instead it should be, what does God want? What does God want? We need to listen more. I read 1 Samuel 15 just a moment ago, and he gave two things that we need to be doing. This is from this verse here on the screen is from the NIV. It says to heed, so we need to obey, and then we also need to heed. And the ESV version is, for to heed, is to listen. So God calls us to obey, but also to listen. He's saying those two things are far better than just the worship routine that you put yourself through. And so Solomon says the same thing. Let's look at the second part of verse 1. To draw near, to listen, is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know what they are doing, that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business and a fool's voice with many words. And so in the Old Testament times, looking at the sacrificial system that they would go through, part of that sacrificial process involved a priest reading part of the law, part of the Old Testament to them, and then explaining it to them. And so what Solomon is saying, when he's saying listen, he's not just saying quiet. He's saying that we need to focus our attention on God. And when we do that, when we listen to God, we are actually worshiping God through that. Solomon's basically saying, hey, do you truly want to worship God? then it starts by listening to Him. It starts by listening to Him. And it starts in the New Testament. It says, hey, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to me. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so that first step there is we take to come to God and to get to God through Jesus is that first step of worship that we can take. But then as we continue to listen to Him, we continue to worship Him by continuing to look up and listen to Him. When I pastored in Kentucky, we had just two kids at the time, ages 2 and 5. And sometimes I would take them to the local YMCA to let my two kids play in the kids area. They had like a ball pit and all these slides and everything. And then I would go in the lounge and try to get a little work done. And so as I did that, I had one problem, though, is that the lounge was very popular with a bunch of retired men who loved to sit there and talk as well. And one of them found out I was a pastor, and so he decided that he really needed to talk to me about a few things. And so that began a 30-minute monologue about his opinions about different things about the Bible and religion. And so some of the things that he told me that day in Kentucky was that, first of all, the King James Version of the Bible is the best and only translation. And that the ESV version denies the deity of Christ. And then he went on to say that the Bible, aka the King James Version, indicates different roles between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus was crucified on a tree, not a cross. And that the other two crucified were crucified on the same tree, not on separate crosses. Now, based on just what I've said, who in the conversation do you think was most important, or at least thought they were most important? Well, I didn't say a word other than, It was the other guy, because it was all him talking. Here's my point. If you are listening, or if you are not listening to God, then you are saying with your actions that He's not important. If you are not listening to God, then you are saying with your actions that He's not important. And so today I want to challenge you. Listen to God. Be intentional about listening to Him. Because the more that you will listen to Him, the more of an opportunity that you're going to have to worship Him with your body. I want to try to illustrate this. How many of you have a good sense of smell? Anybody here? Mike, come on down here. Here, come on up. By the way, this is Mike. He's new to our church from a couple of months ago. And so, Mike, you can come on up here on stage. I guess since you're new, you haven't learned. When I ask questions, most of the long-time people just sort of look down like this. And they're like, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. But you are in luck because this is a very easy illustration here. And it does not involve eating anything and does not involve doing anything dangerous, both of which we've done on this stage. But all I'm going to ask you to do today is smell something. Okay? And you're even in more luck. So last week I was reaching out to some families about getting a dirty diaper, but no one would give me one. And I don't have any at home anymore, so I went a different route, and we have all good-smelling stuff. So this is you are really in luck today. God was watching out over you. Okay, so I want you to just smell it here. You don't have to try not to look at it. So what does it bring to mind?
Breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs, like breaded chicken or something.
Okay. All right, so sort of like a meat something or another.
Yeah.
All right, so it's actually sausage, but it's frozen, okay. So who knows what's in the sausage. So what does it bring to your mind as you smell it?
Dinner,
okay. That's a good answer. Let's try this next one here.
Bread.
Okay. And what does the bread bring to your mind?
Market Basket.
Market Basket. Okay. Good. Yeah. Yeah, it's the 9:30.
The Parisian bread, like.
Wow. Yeah. The guy at 9:30 said it brings to mind the little croissant roll things. So yours is more interesting. All right, last one here. Now this one was a little harder to smell. I think I didn't cook it long enough.
Some kind of like zucchini bread or something.
Bread. You're on to something there. Yeah, yeah. So it's a cinnamon roll.
Okay.
Good. And what does that bring to mind?
Well, bakeries, dessert.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and give them a hand. Easy enough, right?
Yes.
You can take a seat. Now, here's what this little exercise shows us, that when you put something into your life, it directs your thinking, doesn't it? And so until he smelled the bread, he probably was not thinking about Market Basket. But now he's thinking, oh, maybe I need to go to Market Basket and buy some bread. Now, here's how it pertains to our message, that the more you listen to God, there's a point up there, the more you listen to God, the more opportunities you will have to obey and to worship him. And so if God is barely on your mind, then you will likely, what? Barely obey him and barely worship him. But if God is constantly on your mind, then that will give you more and more opportunities to worship him and to obey him. And that's why Solomon says in verse 7, he says, "For when dreams increase, the words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear." So he mentioned dreams in verse 3, and now he mentions it again in verse 7. And he's referring to when you pursue after these material things, that the more you pursue them, the more you dream after them, it leads to what? To more words, to more talk, which in this context is more thinking, more like thinking about yourself. When he says instead, we should focus on God, we should be fearing God. And so instead of pursuing after a bunch of things and getting distracted, Solomon says, hey, God is more important, so let's listen to him. And so what are some ways that we can listen to God? There's lots of different ways that we can do this, but I want to give you two of the main ones here. You've heard this before, and I'm going to say it again because both of these are very important ones. Here's the first one. Getting in the Bible. So getting in the Bible. And so getting in Scripture, not just to check off a box, like saying, read that, done, but actually to learn from it and to let it sink inside of you. Listen, there are some people who read the Bible and don't obey God, but I don't know anyone who doesn't read the Bible and obeys God. Are you tracking with me here? Scripture is the primary way that God speaks to us. And so if God is speaking to us through Scripture, then we better pay attention to what he's saying by listening, by reading the Word of God. And so we must get in Scripture, and we must learn it and memorize it and meditate on it and get it into our lives, not for the purpose of making us right before God and not for the purpose of salvation, though Scripture does tell us that be saved, but we get into Scripture so that we can learn how to better worship God and know him more. And so that's the first way that we can get it, that we can listen to God through getting in the Bible. But the second way is by attending church. Attending church. Think back to the smell test just a moment ago. And so that is what happens when you come into church. When you attend church, no matter what kind of week you've had, and you may not come into church feeling like you want to hear from God or feeling like you want to worship God, but when you physically put yourself in the church, what you're doing is you are putting yourself in position to listen to God. And that's why church is so important. There's some people that are like, I love Jesus, but church just ain't for me. No, you are missing out on one of the primary ways that God helps grow his people. Not the only way, But one of the primary ways that God is going to challenge you and encourage you, and as you get connected with other people in the church, and as they help sharpen you, and you help them, and you help sharpen them, as you hear the Word of God preached to you, as you sing songs praising Him, all these things will help you listen to God more and worship Him and obey Him. Now, I'm going to say the same thing I said about Bible reading. I'm going to say it about church. There are some people who go to church and don't obey God. But I don't know anyone who doesn't go to church and obeys God. I don't know of anyone who doesn't go to church and obeys God. And so let me give you one more way that Solomon talks about here in our passage. And so we need to worship him through obedience. We need to then, he says, listen. And then lastly, in verses 4 through 6, he talks about how we need to pursue integrity. Pursue integrity. Verse 4. He says, "When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Paying what you vow, or pay what you vow, it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands?" And so where did I get integrity out of there, and what are these vows that he's talking about? So those vows that Solomon is talking about are from the Old Testament. So it's from the temple vows that people would make. And so in the Old Testament, one commentator writes, "Temple vows were a common feature in the Old Testament worship, and they involved promises to consecrate such things as sacrifices or money to God in return for granting a request to God." So the problem is that people were coming to God in the sacrifice, and they were saying, "God, I will do this if you'll do this. God, please do this, and then I'll do this." And then God would give them something, and then they'd be like, "Oh, I have what I have." And then they just go along their way and not carry through with their vow. Now, what I think the main point of what Solomon is talking here is not really as much the vows as it is the following through. It's the integrity side of things. That we're called to live with integrity. That we're called to do what we say we're going to do. Integrity is defined as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. And so it's doing the right thing when no one else is looking. And so if you say you're doing one thing, you're saying, "I love God," but then you go and live another way. When verse 4, it says, he has no pleasure in fools. You're a fool. I'm saying that to myself also, that when I go and pursue a path of sin, what I'm doing is I'm living like a fool right there. And so God is calling us that if we want to live meaningful lives, then take God seriously, then we need to live with integrity in our lives, with moral uprightness. Again, not to make ourselves right before God, but simply because it is what we can do to stick close to God. Think about it this way. Your car breaks down, and so you take it to the mechanic. Your mechanic has a look at it, and he notices that the outside of the car is extremely dirty. I mean, it's February in New Hampshire. Of course it's going to be dirty. So he says, "All right, I know how to fix it." And he pushes it into the car wash. And he pushes it through the car wash and gets it sparkly clean on the outside. And then he comes back and he gives you the bill, hands you your keys, and he says it should be all fixed. Now, most likely, is your car going to be fixed just by washing the outside? No. No, because most car problems, this comes from a pastor, not a mechanic, by the way, but in my opinion, most car problems come from the inside, from the engine. It's an engine problem. It's the inside that's the problem. And so looking at this from a spiritual perspective, most of our spiritual failures have to do with failures that are what? That are under the hood, that are on the inside. It's a lack of integrity. And so I want to encourage you, don't go through life looking good on the outside, but then looking like poo on the inside. So time and time again, Jesus spoke out against those types of people, the religious leaders, and he called them whitewashed tombs because they were sparkly good, sparkly clean, looking good on the external. But they were like death on the internal. And Solomon would say the same thing. He'd say, hey, don't live like that before God, because that is not going to lead you toward a meaningful life. I was reading this week how in Los Angeles, they're having a big water system problem. Each day, multiple pipes burst or start leaking. Back in 2014, a 30-inch pipe burst on the campus of UCLA, and it flooded athletic fields, garages, and buildings, and it took 4 hours for them to turn the water off. In 2009, a series of major water breaks caused a sinkhole that swallowed up a LA fire truck. And so what's the issue that they're having? Well, the utility officials say that 27% of the pipes are more than 100 years old. That's 1.4 million feet of pipeline. And so they're working on repairing it, but not fast enough. And so the article said that it's going to take multiple lifetimes at this rate to repair everything that they need to. And so from my perspective, that pipe system lacks integrity. It has all these holes, all this oldness underneath. And the same is true for us, that we will continue to have spiritual problems like that pipe system will if we continue to lack integrity. And so if you do not stick close to God and if you do not follow through with moral uprightness, then you're just going to continue to have spiritual problem after spiritual problem in your life. And so instead, I want to encourage you, pursue integrity in your life. And if you'll do that, then that will help get rid of many of the spiritual problems that you have. So Solomon said, and has said throughout, he's saying, meaningless, meaningless. It's like chasing after the wind. And that's what happens, church, when you don't live with integrity. That's what happens when you don't live in worship by obeying God. That's what happens when you do not focus on listening to God and instead focus on just me, 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 talk, talk, talk. And so I want to encourage you today, let's take God seriously and let's be intentional about living meaningful lives. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray.